Talking with Ariel Smirnoff, who is the communications strategist for New York Renews, which is a big coalition, couple hundred environmental justice, community, labor, faith, and other organizations that have been working on climate change and had a major role last year with the passage of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. So Ariel, recently New York Renews sent a letter to the governor and the Climate Action Council expressing some concerns about progress, including the fact that there's only been one meeting of the Climate Action Council so far, a year after actually the law was initially passed. So what were some of the concerns you outlined in the letter?
Sure, and thanks, Mark. It's good to be here with you. We know that according to the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, the Climate Action Council has 2 years to create the scoping plan, essentially the plan and roadmap to get New York off of fossil fuels and investing in frontline communities. So the fact that it's been a year since the law has passed and the Climate Action Council has only met once is quite concerning to us. That 2 year time clock is ticking, and we really need to get a strong plan in order to meet our state's energy and justice goals. And the fact that they haven't met is concerning to us. And we understand that the pandemic and the uprising for Black Lives has delayed the meetings to some extent. But we also know that climate change and climate injustice have not slowed down. In fact, the COVID-19 pandemic shows extremely clearly the ways in which pollution and climate change are related to negative health outcomes and sickness and death, particularly in Black and brown communities. So the problems that we're facing are not slowing down. So it's really critical that body meets again soon and is able to continue doing the work of creating a roadmap for our state to meet its climate and equity goals.
Now, I guess technically, the law was signed into effect at the end of the year, and so the clock and a lot of these deadlines didn't start until January 1st. But one of the ones that is very critical to the work is the Climate Justice Working Group, which is supposed to be created or convened within 6 months of the law taking effect. What's going on with that Climate Justice Working Group?
Yeah, so the Climate Justice Working Group is going to be a really critical component of developing the scoping plan and of implementing the CLCPA. As you said, the law was signed, it took effect on January 1st. So we're now part of the way into the month of June. So we're more than 6 months out, and it really needs to be convened. You know, the Climate Justice Working Group is going to be doing a lot of work on good jobs and on particularly identifying the communities who would qualify for our 35% floor and 40% goal of investment in communities most impacted by pollution and by climate change. So the delay in convening and appointing that group is really concerning to us.
Now, you know, one of the concerns that people have raised is that the actual final CLCPA bill, which is a merger of basically a bill you guys helped draft and the governor, was a little bit vaguer and wishy-washy on the funding for environmental justice and disadvantaged communities than people had expected. Has that been clarified at all? And also, I remember you also sent a letter a few weeks ago saying as we try to, reboot the economy from COVID-19, this would be an excellent opportunity to do a green jobs recovery. Some would say a Green New Deal, but, making sure that not only we invest in that transition to renewable energy efficiency, but that is one way to target, the funding to, EJA and disadvantaged communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think that we're so you asked a couple of questions. The first was about the investment mandate and in the bill that we were pushing, the Climate and Community Protection Act had a 40% floor in terms of dollars and cents that the state would spend on climate and energy funding. So 40% of those dollars, those literal dollars, had to be invested in communities most impacted by the climate crisis and by pollution. So that's largely Black, brown, and low-income communities. The language of the law that was ultimately passed was a little bit wishy-washy on that. So it has that 40% number as a goal or a target rather than a mandate. And so we're advising the Climate Action Council to really make that 40% as a mandated floor, right? It's not an aspirational ceiling. It's the sort of minimum acceptable amount of money that needs to go to communities hit first and worst by the climate crisis. And then you also brought up our campaign and our push for a green jobs recovery, a climate justice recovery. As you mentioned, the pandemic created enormous amounts of unemployment in New York State. We also saw that the COVID pandemic disproportionately impacted Black and Brown communities, in part because of a legacy and decades of disproportionate exposure to pollution and poor air quality. So as we think about, as regions of the state are beginning to reopen, as we've seen that we may have been able to, we may have passed perhaps the worst and most tragic moments of the pandemic. As we're thinking about putting people back to work, it only makes sense given our state's climate goals, given the impact of the pandemic, to do so through green jobs, through good green jobs that pay family-sustaining wages, that increase our renewable energy, reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, invest in impacted communities, and to build a more resilient infrastructure and a more resilient state and a state that's more ready to combat climate change and more ready to protect New Yorkers.
So earlier this week, I did a Green New Deal forum with one of our local assembly candidates, Joe Seaman. And one of the questions from the audience was, how do you deal with, workers who are presently dependent upon fossil fuels, local government, And I saw in your letter that just transition was one of the concerns you raised about trying to get the state to focus more on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it is true that that there are New Yorkers who are reliant on the extractive economy and communities that are reliant on extractive and fossil fuel industries. And they absolutely need to be part of the conversation and need to have leadership and self-determination in how we move forward. We know that our goal as a state is to be fossil fuel free. But we also know that we're going to have to make significant investments in those workers and those communities. We can't leave them behind. We can't leave them out to dry. So in our policy proposals, we have proposed significant funding for fossil fuel dependent communities and workers, including bridge to retirement funds, including funds to replace lost tax revenue, for example, to municipalities and school systems. Because we really, as we make this just transition, we can't leave workers behind. We're a climate jobs and justice coalition. We're not just a climate coalition. And we need to make this transition in a way that is that takes all New Yorkers with us.
We only have about 90 seconds left. One other question that came up was, how do you pay for all this? And, we said to tax the rich and the carbon tax, but I believe New York Renews has its own corporate polluter penalty proposal.
Mm-hmm. So we have a proposal that would charge corporate polluters in order to pay for this just transition. And it's, I think, a really innovative and unique proposal because it would charge corporate polluters at the source, not just for their greenhouse gas emissions, which are the things that are warming the planet and creating climate change, but also things called co-pollutants, which are the sort of byproducts of some of that fossil fuel burning that are what cause illness and pollution and asthma in communities. So we're not just talking about emissions that warm the planet. We're also talking about emissions that are causing sickness and destruction in communities, largely Black, Brown, and low-income communities in New York State. So that's how we pay for it. Big corporate polluters are the ones who got us into this mess, and they're the ones who should pay to get us out.
We're out of time. This is Mark Dunley, Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, talking with Ariel Swernoff of New York News. Last thing, Ariel, people want more information. Where do they go?
Absolutely. You can find us on our website, so www.nyrenews.org, or on Twitter at NYRenews, or Facebook at the same handle.